This morning we are going to take up a very challenging word to study, but interesting. But before we do that, well, let's take a look at our Bible memory verse, if we can. Still on page 10. Okay, if we need help there. Psalm 68 and verse 34, and that will lead us into Psalm 68 in the study of it all. Talking about how we should ascribe strength to God. Okay, let's try this together. Ascribe strength to God, everybody. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and His strength is in the clouds. So next time you see clouds, think of the Lord's strength, because there, His strength reaches from the earth all the way to the clouds. And may the Lord encourage our hearts. Now, Psalm 68 is a long psalm. And it goes all the way, it could be longer, but 35 verses. Now, how do we make sense out of a 35-verse psalm so that it will just stand out? Some of the other psalms are a little bit easier, let's try, okay? And one of the things about the Lord's Word is that if you take time to think about it, pray about it, it will just stand out by itself. That is my secret. Somebody was asking Michelangelo, how did you carve the great statue of David? And his reply was simple but profound. See, I just chisel away that which is not David. Does that help you to understand it better? I tried my hand at chiseling my clay stone. When I was younger, we don't have money to buy toys. You make your own toys and, you invent your own games. You play kampong games. And I use this thing called clay. If you live in HDB flat, you have no joy or no experience of the joy of playing in the ground or the sand and everything else. So we draw a line there, we draw a line on the other side, and use a piece of stone and see who hits that line on the other side. When I was a kid, my accuracy was about 90%. It was pretty good. I can almost hit the line almost all the time, 90%. I practice. I use this piece of stone and I carve it. I like mine to be made of marble. So I started with a big slab. It was just a broken piece. I found it. I began to chisel away, thinking I will make myself several stones. And that with only one stone. And that was my little... Because a chip broke, cannot. A chip broke further. So I am no Michelangelo. So he says, chip away that which is not David. I have no idea what he's talking about. But thank God, studying the Lord's Word is easier. Now, I'm serious. Studying the Lord's Word is, to me, far easier than studying Chinese. I have no idea why, but I want to share with you my joy and how to look at this thing. Okay, but remember, the back of it all, ascribe strength to God. But it's going to take from verse 1 all the way to verse 30-something before we come talk about extract strength to the Lord. How do we go there? Okay, well, every time we want to read the Lord's Word, always pray for wisdom. And that's what we're going to do. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word given to us. And we pray that You will attune our hearts and our minds and our spirit to understand and appreciate this word that You've given to us, teaching us how to ascribe strength to You. I pray for Your grace to be given to us to understand this word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we take a look at Psalm 68 and the first two verses. And we call these two verses problems in life. And we all have problems in life. David's problem was problem of enemies. And they were really nasty to him, and the enemies were there. And so let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so that the Lord, the wicked, perish at the presence of God. So we begin. The first two verses suggest itself very easily, right? Problems. Okay? Then after a while, you begin to read, you'll probably be able to come up with your own understanding too, very easily. So the problems are like, what do we do with them? You know, the best thing to do is to find, the next word suggests itself, the presence of God. Okay, look at this, verse 2, the last part of it. So we see the presence of God that is there. That's very, very... Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. At what? The presence of God. Sometimes we take the presence of God for granted. I hope you understand what we mean by presence. Some people have a wonderful presence. Some people have no presence at all, even though they're present. Have you seen that? So yesterday, when I look at the sketch and look at all the different, you know, what really stood out to me was a little girl, Esther. And there she is, and she greets everybody with such, wow, that word is called presence. She's such, so confident, so everything else. Reminds me when I was studying Chinese, I ran away from my Chinese school teacher because they were armed with weapons of destruction. And so when people are armed with weapons of destruction, you flee from their presence. That was all my experience of all my Chinese teacher. Everyone had a weapon very long. And it strikes fear in your heart. And it's really, really sad. So when I see the little girl like that, I say, wow. But far greater is the presence of God. So here the problem of enemies. What is the best way to cope with it? Seek the presence of God. And you know, somehow, somewhere, the presence of God is like light. And darkness cannot coexist with light. So where the presence of God is, the problems fade. God will deal with them. Don't worry about them. Don't think about them too much. The presence of God. See? So Psalm 68 carries on. Now we go on further. Now, what is God like beyond presence? Now, watch this very, very carefully and see the idea of the person of God. That's very obvious. It suggests itself again. Look at verse 5 downwards, a father of the fatherless, defender of the widows, he sets a solitary in families, he brings up those who are bound into prosperity, right? What wonderful person of God he is. He goes out before his people. This is Deuteronomy 1, verse 30, 29, 30. God goes out before his people. How wonderful it is. So we see the person of God. Now, in March, at a family camp, we have a few more people coming from Myanmar. God willing, two of them will come and train as student pastors. Well, what's so special about these two? They came from our orphanage. And from a very young age, you know, They understood what it means to be cared for, to be loved, to be provided for. And they said to me when they were very, very young, children, 4 or 5 years old, one of them said to me, Pastor, I'm going to follow you. I want to be a pastor just like you. It's been 20 years now since they said those words. And these two kids who used to be in an orphanage that we sometimes don't know very much about will be here in our midst for the next 3 years. See, we don't see the orphanage work alone. We see the person of God at work. What will He do? He will care for the fatherless. He will take them and place them in families. He will look after them. He will defend them. That is the person of God. Can you see? Problems, presence, person of God, right? I mean, that is just so absolutely wonderful. We take a look at, see the idea of presence of God again in verse 8. See, the presence of God. The heavens drop rain at the presence of God. Okay? Sinai itself was moved by the presence of God. And so we see the idea of the presence of God marvelously. Sometimes we don't know what it is. But it is important. It is really very vital. Some people make their presence known by what they are. Right? And the moment they enter into the picture, because of the person they are, they change dynamics. You see, that is what God is like. And it is wonderful to know some of these things here. Right? Not only the Lord, look at the next thing that we see. We see the provision of God. Now, this is something that we cannot mistake. Take a look at the provision there. You send a plentiful rain, okay, whereby you confirm your inheritance when it was weary. The congregation dwells in it because God provided from your goodness for the poor. See, so that's we see. The provision of God is so wonderful. God provides the rain. God provides for the poor. I mean, it's unmistakable to see the Lord providing in all these things. Look at the dove described in verse 13. Though you lie down among the sheepfold, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, her feathers with yellow gold. Of course, this is going to be very hard to fly. But the idea here is that when God provides, the silver and gold pattern that God provides with will become obvious. Well, that is the provision of God. Can you see this? I mean, this is something that we want to look. Look at verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Right? And to God the Lord belong escapes from death. How wonderful it is to understand and appreciate this idea of God's provision. See, so problems of life, they will be there. But what is that compared to the presence of God, the person of God, the provision of God? Can you see this? So Psalm 68 comes alive as we take a look at it. It becomes so absolutely vital. Now, what else do we see as we look at this psalm? And then we read in verse 15, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. Bashan was famous for its luxurious surroundings. The cows eat there. The cows are called the fat cows of Bashan. I mean, they were just, it's a very, very luxurious area. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai. Once there was a prophet, his name was called Elisha, and the enemy surrounded them. And so his servant, his trainee, his disciple went out. He said he was sent out to get something. He came back frightened like anything. And he said to the master, do you know that the army, they all surround us? So Elisha was going to teach the disciple. He says, why are you worried? If your eyes can see, you can see God's power. And you can see God's powerful army. But he couldn't see. He looked out and he couldn't see anything. So he says, Lord, open his eyes. The next time he looked around, yes, there were the enemies surrounding. But beyond them, behind them, was the greater army of God. Chariots, thousands, thousand upon thousands. That is a beautiful picture of the powerful God that we have. Can you see this? There are problems of life there. There's a person of God there. All right? You can see the presence of God there. Now we see that provision of God. Now we see his powerful army alongside. The power of God is well exemplified here. Right? The chariots of God are 20,000. Thousands of thousands. In other words, beyond counting. The Lord is among them as with the people. God triumphant, you have ascended on high, led captivity captive, received gifts from them. There is a triumphant, powerful God. See, Psalm 68 now reveals itself very, very clearly, very easily. Right? See how easier to read this, right, than Chinese. Well, take a look at it. It's so beautiful. I mean, take a look. It's wonderful. Right? Then we see this. And this is something that we want to really, really thank God for. Now, there is the promise of God. Okay? The promises of God are found in 21:22. God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of those who go about in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. This was a promise of God. Though they may be in trouble, though may there be difficulties, God promised he will bring them back to plenty, to Bashan. Right? So there would be the promises of God stated very clearly, 21:22. So this is absolutely important. You know, then we see what we call a procession of God, verse 24. They have seen your procession of God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. A triumphant march. And watch the triumph that is there. From the fields of conquest, leading the whole army back, as it were, triumphantly. That's from time to time, the Romans held such things. And so this triumphal parade was just wonderful to see. Enemies will be there. They will be paraded. The people will be there. But they always have a custom. And they have this custom where the victor's crown is placed on the emperor's head. And the emperor travels back with all his general and everything else. And there is one person at the back of the chariot with the crown there over his head. And this is what he says. When the crowds cheer, long live the emperor, long live the general, long live. And they didn't name the general that is there. And after the queen has died now, the man glows with joy and with pride. The task of this man who holds a laurel leaf says these words. Remember, you are a man. Remember, you are but a man. Remember, you are but a man. One of those few times you can say that to the emperor and not get killed. But that was the custom. This is God in his procession. So all the people, God is going to lead in a procession. Now we end. You know, this year, this is our end of the financial year for us, end of the fiscal year for us. And we took a look at, we gathered together the ACM, and we're going to look back at it. It's Psalm 68 is really appropriate. Right? Are there problems? Of course. Well, why are we not afraid of problems? The presence of God. Why are we not afraid further? The person of God. The provision of God. The power of God. The promises of God. Now, this is a procession. And we look, God leading his people triumphantly. The language of Paul, who leads us always in triumph. Now, it's wonderful to be able to speak for 45 years. The Lord leading triumphantly year after year, decade after decade, for 45 years. There is the procession of God. And I hope you'll be part of the procession rather than be part of the problem. Right? I mean, this is so wonderful to realize, and we take a look at it and say, this is what it is. God is in, there we go, okay? Verse 26, 27, God is in the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. So whenever I read this little phrase, there is little Benjamin, their leader. Two of them are going to be leaders in time to come. So it is a little humbling. There, little Benjamin. They was very small, little Benjamin when they first came. Little did they realize that prophetically they are mentioned. Benjamin was about the smallest tribe of all. And yet, it was not insignificant. Right? So, Saul, tribe of Benjamin. King Saul, tribe of Benjamin. Saul himself before being a tribe of Benjamin. Right? They may be small, maybe insignificant, but not where God is there. Where God's person is there, where God's power is there, where God's provision is there, you don't have to be insignificant. It doesn't matter where you come from. God makes all the difference in the world. Can you see how the psalm is opening up? Right? I still don't see the joy. Yeah, no. Okay. Well, let's go on further then. Okay? And this is really wonderful to see how it is. And this, from verse 28 down to the end, we call this the last segment, the people of God. Can you see the whole entire psalm can be understood along these lines? There is God. Of course, the problems will always be there. They'll never go away. Will there be enemies? Always. But we don't have to dwell on them. We rather choose to dwell on God Himself. His presence, His power, His provision, right? His protection, you name it. It's all there. What has this got to do with the people of God? Let's consider this. Right? Verse 26, God is in the congregation. God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. That is how we see it. Right? I mean, you really, really thank God for the strength that He gives. God is the one who commands your strength. How wonderful it is to know that our strength has already been planned for, arranged by, commanded by God. This is my servant. I'm in the midst of them. He will have my strength. How wonderful it is to know that God commands the strength of His congregation. Well, let's look further. What else He does? Okay? And then we see how, we see this. Verse 32 now. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. And then we, verse 34, ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. You are more awesome than your holy places. It is the God of Israel who gives strength and power to His people. And so when we celebrate the Lord's goodness, when we celebrate together as a congregation, we are very, very conscious. God is in the congregation. His presence is there. His power is there. His provision is there. His protection is there. What more do we need? Now the challenge is, how do we respond appropriately as His people? Well, I think this is what we want to do. Okay? Let there be a prayer. Strengthen our hands. Strengthen the work, what you have done for us. You know, to me, I waited 20 years for these two young lads to say that they want to serve the Lord, and now they are. So we're going to watch them. So I watch them with special eyes, watching them and seeing how they are being involved in their lives from a very, very young age, from their young age to watch them. Always seeking to point them to the Lord all the time. One of them has already been given in principle approval. The other one is waiting. Well, we just trust the Lord for his leading. And it's just wonderful that they survived, because not all the time orphanages, people go to orphanage and they survive. Some of them die. Neglect, poor attention, poor program. They never get a chance to go. Two of them have actually completed bachelor's and a master's degree in theology. I mean, in at Burmese standard. So we're going to see them train further. But that they have the desire and the joy of actually studying and then wanting to do better. And so they're coming over here. Well, it is wonderful. The people of God, this is something we should look at with great joy and make this our prayer. Lord, strengthen what you have done for us. The work there, strengthen that work. Our people who are coming over, strengthen the work. This year at the family camp, 30 of the Bethel brethren are coming. Well, that's a considerable number. We started off with a smaller number. Now we've got about 30 people coming, and they're excited about coming. Why now? So we're going to see this kind of... So our prayer must be strengthen the work that you've done. Now, then we go on further. Let's sing to the Lord, and let's, as we should. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, his people, his strength in the clouds, and truly God is far more awesome than anything else, right? And he will give strength and power to his people. You know, to me, that is absolutely wonderful. And we should just really, really thank God that when we look at this whole idea, this last 2 months about strength from God, from the different Psalms, you begin to realize, it's taken from this Psalm particularly, Psalm 68, ascribe strength to God. And we know why we should ascribe strength to God. Why? Because it is He who is with us in His presence, in His person, in His power, in His provision, in His protection. What else do we need? We have everything that we can desire and need in God Himself. And we, His people, may this be our prayer. Lord, strengthen. That's one. Two, we can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, literally, help us to be strong in you. Ascribe, sing to the Lord, so that we will have the strength and the power to carry on with the next year. Now, I don't know how you feel, but some people still, wow, at the end of the year, very tired. No. We've just begun. 45 years in God's work, this is where you begin to feel the strength, the reality of that power. You see God's hand, everything. And you cannot but say, I want to ascribe strength to God. And that's what we're going to do this morning as we conclude our worship service, and then as we prepare our ACM. ACM's for all members only. So, you know, just rejoice with us, even though you're not a member with us yet. You know, it's just so wonderful to be able to see the Lord's hand. It is a great thing to trace the Lord's hand of leading and of blessing and of guiding, and say, this is what we should be thankful for. And this is something that we want to really, really, really thank God as we close up. What is it we want to ask for in a year ahead? The promise is that of grace and strength and power. What do I ask for? Ask Him, fill me now. You could never have enough of the Lord's power. Fill me now. Fill me with your hallowed presence. There we go. Fill me now. Well, let's think about this, shall we? Now, as we think about this, it's very, very important. And as we give an offering to the Lord's work, Let's think of all the Lord is to us: His presence, His person, His power, His provision, His protection, His promises, His purpose. You can add on. The text suggests all these things by itself. How do we as people of God respond? Let's give this offering as our offering of thanksgiving and really ask the Lord to continue to lead and to bless as He has promised. And He will bring us back to Himself. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You that we can look at this psalm and come to this realization that power and strength and all that we have actually come from You. And so this morning we ascribe strength and power back to You, saying thank You for the God You are to us, Your presence, Your promises, Your power, Your provision, Your protection. Thank You for all these things given to us, though sometimes we are not conscious. We pray that You will teach us how to love You even more and to give this offering back as our acts of thanksgiving for the God that You are to us. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.